Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Hold your kitties tight. Unless they're feral, then you're breaking the law in Michigan. This is Michael Dean. This is Freedom Fiends After Dark.
And my cat just thinks he's feral.
Well, cats are wild beasts in a way that dogs are not. Dogs are domesticated. Cats really aren't domesticated. They're
domesticators.
Yes, yes. What is it? Dogs have owners. Cats have staff. I'm watching a cat right now try to like bury an imaginary bug under a t-shirt. It's ridiculous. And if they weighed like 3-4 times what they weigh, they'd eat you. They really would.
Still will if you stay still long enough.
Well, I know that if you die in your home, they will eat you. That's a documented fact. Absolutely. Before the show CSI existed, I was writing a novel and I called a crime scene cleanup company and talked to a guy and said, is that possible? And he said, in my experience, cats have to eat. Oh, my cat's rolling around looking so cute. He looks like, I wouldn't eat you. Lick, 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 lick. Yes, you would.
That's what he wants you to think.
That's what he wants you to think. Yeah, so we go to Michigan. Davi Barker, tell us what's going on in Michigan. What's the Michigan Department of Cats and Hogs done to us lately?
Michigan has decided that they have a huge problem with at-large animals. And by at-large, they mean criminals avoiding prosecution. No, they mean feral cats. And so they're making it illegal to feed feral cats. You can no longer leave a saucer of milk on your back stoop for the cats in the yard.
Now, what if your cat is an indoor-outdoor cat and you leave a saucer of milk for your cat and a feral cat is caught drinking from it?
Collateral damage, my friend. You'll be fined anyway.
That's a jailin'. That's a cajun. Not a cajun.
Yeah, the fine's something. They think it said $500 was the fine. That's quite a bit.
That's more than like running a red light in most places, isn't it?
Well, feral cats are clearly more dangerous than traffic violation.
Running a red light can be very dangerous. Feral cats, really, I don't know, man. Yeah, there's a guy, my state rep shoots them, which is, if anybody ever wanted to do a political ad against him, they could probably prove that on video. But he actually has a license to do that. He got a license from the city. You don't need a license to shoot feral cats in Wyoming. Apparently it's legal, but you need a license to fire a firearm in the city. And he uses a high-powered air gun. It's kind of like an assault an assault airsoft gun. It's like, it looks like an AR-15 and it has a CO2 cartridge and it has a metal pellet that can kill a cat. And he goes,
you know, they say
cats.
That senseless violence against animals is one of the early signs of a sociopathic disorder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although maybe running for office is too.
I think that's more indicative. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to name him because, you know, he's my neighbor and we go shooting sometimes. But not cats, man. I don't want to hear about the cats. It bums me out.
We have a pack of feral cats here because I live right by a creek. And my cat sort of like runs these meetings where he gets out on the windowsill and he meows at them in the middle. It's always at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Is he trying to convert them to be domesticated, or are they calling him to join them?
I think he wants out is what I think is going on. I'm not sure, though. I don't speak cat.
Yeah. A lot of if humanity collapsed, there would be wild dogs and house cats everywhere. But cats would generally fare better, partially because they reproduce so quickly, but also because they can run up trees. Dogs can't really do that. And they're survivors, man. There are feral cats in Wyoming in the winter, and it gets 30 below with 50-mile-an-hour wind here. And I've seen them here. It's stunning.
For sure.
They are survivors.
And they revert back to like they don't stay domesticated for very long, right? Like if they are left out for some reason, they resort to their survival instinct much faster than most animals.
Yeah. Two of my cats are totally indoor, and one of them is indoor but can go outdoor when I supervise her. And she is 16 years old, which is like 85 in human. And she still kills birds and eviscerates them and brings them to me as love offerings. It's pretty cool. You know why they do that? You know why they take off the heads and the feet?
No.
They are preparing a meal for you, and they're removing the parts that don't taste good.
Oh, wow. I mean, I knew it was a gift. I knew it was an offering. I didn't realize they wrapped it for you.
Yeah, it's because, you know, they think you're such a good hunter because you always – especially if you leave the house. Like, you leave the house for 8 hours a day, and then you come home and you always have food for them. They assume you're out of the house hunting all day for them. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So they're rewarding their pack leader. Now, they're not really pack animals. They're pretty solitary, but they're social. They're not pack animals in the same way that dogs are. Yeah.
Well, gift giving is a pretty individualist thing. Like, a pack animal would sort of like bring the hunt back for the group, right? Like, a gift is to an individual.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think that cats are pretty libertarian and dogs are pretty statist, which is not to say you're a statist if you have or like dogs. But so let's read a little bit of this. This is Albion, Michigan. This is from the New Albion Online. It says, New Albion law punishes residents found to be feeding feral or stray cats with fine and possible jail time. That's mind-blowing.
I think they should claim a First Amendment religious exemption. There are pagan traditions that involve leaving food, especially saucers of milk, out on the porch.
Or if you're Egyptian, you could say you worship cats.
I heard someone say that Facebook was the same as ancient Egypt because people write on walls and worship cats.
That's pretty awesome. You know, outlawing the feeding of animals or people, which, you know, they do some places. You know about that.
Yeah.
It's denaturing, you know, like the government denatures alcohol so you can buy ethyl alcohol without the taxes. Yeah, they denature nature. They take nature out of nature. That's pretty much what
government does. Yeah, you know, the problem is feral humans, not feral cats.
Cats were here first, huh?
Well, no, I mean, the government's problem is that we people are too feral. They would rather we were domesticated and, you know, couldn't feed ourselves.
Yeah. Line up for your FEMA gruel. And what were you saying about Islam and the internet and what they'd like to do with the internet? We were listening to a news piece.
Some guy in Britain was saying how Islam is a dangerous idea and it's spreading around the world and whatever. And I said, hey, you know, if you want to stop the spread of an idea, all you have to do is shut down the internet.
And I said they'd love to do that. And, you know, the other day you weren't on, but I said what you said, which was I sent you that article about the some government war professor at the war college said that the internet is destabilizing. It said the internet is destabilizing the world, says head of war college. And what did you say the interpretation of that was?
I said this is just the modern version of the printing press as destabilizing the world, says inquisitor at torture college.
Head inquisitor at torture college. Yeah. I mean, think about the idea that they want to keep the slaves from talking to each other. And that goes back to, it was illegal in America under slavery to teach a slave to read.
I mean, it's deeper than that, though. Think about the idea that destabilize is a pejorative. Like, how boring is stable?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, stable means, like, static, unchanging, unwavering. It means stationary, right?
Yeah. I mean, all war planners at the highest level, I would consider conservative in some way. I mean, not even in a political designation, but they want to keep the status quo, and that is their job. And the status quo is murdering people at the drop of a hat. You know, they're progressive in the methodologies for doing it, but they're very conservative in wanting the world to have a fixed power structure with the U.S. at the top of it, and they want to be pretty high near the top of that power structure.
I mean, they're definitely authoritarian. I mean, I don't think you could exist in a command structure without subscribing to the hierarchy.
Yeah, I wonder if and when they're going to essentially outlaw libertarian talk, and just consider it. You know, if like basically, if you say the government is bad, they'll charge you with treason and hang you by the neck. I wonder how far off that is, or if it'll ever be that blatant, or it'll just be incremental and annoying. Like, you know, they'll kick us all off the radio, and then they'll take down our websites and.
I think it'll be incremental. It'll be that the culture will pressure you out of saying certain things. Well, and then those things just won't be said anymore.
Yeah, who's Obama's right-hand man? Department of Justice guy, Department of Justice.
I don't know these people.
Anyway, that guy, he basically said that he wanted to make guns the way that it's heading with cigarettes. Like, you have to go out somewhere away from the good people to use them or even discuss them, and people sneer at you if you have them.
Weird.
You know, he wants to nudge us into that. Yeah, that's so square, man.
Well, I mean, it is kind of already like that. I mean, you can't visibly have them anymore. That's kind of like cigarettes.
Kind of Porkfest.
Well, yeah. Porkfest is a unique place in the world, though.
Porkfest is LibPair, like a moving feast of LibPair. You're going to Porkfest.
Yeah, it's like a canvas. I think of it like a canvas. It's like a temporary sort of free zone that people try out their ideas.
Nathan, you're on the air. Yeah.
Nathan, going once.
Going once, going twice, gone. Yeah, so anyway, Department of Justice. So do you know about the nudge concept?
No.
It's a political concept of like not – it's basically nudging people into compliance. We'll talk about more when we get back. Eric Holder, that's the guy who wants to make guns like cigarettes. Ew. I said a dirty word on the air, Eric Holder. It's the H word.
It's against my community standard.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, it's Michael Dean on Freedom Fiends After Dark. Hold your illegal feral kitties tight and pet them with love, but don't get caught if you're in Michigan. I don't think we're on the radio in Michigan. We're on the radio in Kentucky and Illinois. Yeah, Southern Illinois, which is pretty much Kentucky. So Davi and I were talking about illegal cats, and we're going to continue that later. But
I don't know, I'm no lawyer or anything, but it sounds like you can own a feral cat. You just can't feed it.
Well, I think once you own it, it's no longer feral. But
yeah.
Any place that has regulations on feeding feral cats would probably take a cat away from you if you tried to get a feral cat to live in your house.
There's a feral cat that sometimes comes by and tries to drink out of my swimming pool, and I put out a little saucer or a little bowl of water for him. Does that count?
I don't know, but that's Nathan calling in from Texas. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing good. How are you, Michael and Davi?
I'm nifty.
Good.
What's on your mind besides feral cats?
Well, you mentioned the psychopathic politicians, and it's a topic I've been curious about. It's something Stefan Molyneux kind of brought to my attention. It was on the periphery, and he kind of like spelled it out or made explicit. It's this idea of politicians as psychopathic villains in stories.
Yeah, except psychopathic villains in stories are usually more interesting and fun.
Well, the idea is, if you think about The Godfather, you know, there was no pretense that The Godfather was part of, you know, the Department of Motor Vehicles or anything. But today you have shows like Boardwalk Empire, House of Cards, not Breaking Bad, but what's that other one?
I don't know. Hank was pretty terrible.
And actually, yeah. In The Godfather, there was a mixture of mafia and state. I mean, there's that whole, I forget if it's in one or two, but basically there's a, I think it's in one, where there's a congressman from Nevada who they're trying to get to grant them unlimited gaming licenses to start casinos there. And he doesn't want to do it, can't be bought off. So basically, they get him into a whorehouse and drug him and murder a whore in his bed. And he wakes up and they, you know, basically they're like, we have you in bed with a dead girl and you do our bidding or the world will know.
Well, that's a good point. But I guess he wasn't presented as, you know, a straight up politician.
But there's a line in that movie, something that I can't remember the exact line, but it's Michael Corleone talking to his wife, played by Diane Keaton. I think that's her name. She's kind of naive as to what he does. You know, she thinks he's kind of a legitimate businessman who does a little bit of illegal stuff on the side. She hasn't really grokked yet the full intensity that he is the godfather of the mafia. And she says something about politicians and, you know, basically something to the effect of like, you know, Michael says something like, you know, I just have a regular job, like a congressman or the mayor or something. And she's like, yeah, but the Congress and the mayor aren't doing illegal things and killing people. And he's like, oh, you're so naive, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I guess the idea I'm trying to convey is that it's more explicit now. Like the guy in the Boardwalk Empire is an actual politician. And then in House of Cards, well, I mean, the guy, Kevin Spacey, is taking all these asides to tell you about how yeah, corrupt he and everyone else is.
Yeah, and
so it's like a change.
In House of Cards, he's a politician, that's all he does. In Boardwalk Empire, he's a bootlegger who becomes a politician to further his bootlegging, because it's easier than buying off the politicians.
Right. So, but what do you think about this idea that it's like the public consciousness has changed, so now it's okay to portray politicians as basically gangsters, whereas before you sort of couldn't?
Well, House of Cards is a really good example, and that's actually based on a British BBC comedy or a BBC show by the same name that basically has the same character, but he's a member of parliament instead of a congressman. It's exactly the same show with not all the scenarios are the same, but it's very similar. The whole overall arc of the show throughout the three seasons of the BBC one. And it's really worth watching. If you're a fan of the Kevin Spacey Netflix House of Cards, go watch the BBC one. Now, here's the interesting thing. That's from like 20 years ago or 15 years ago. And it might be longer than that, actually, because I think Maggie Thatcher has just died. I don't know. Maybe she's still alive. But it's not as recent, nearly, the time frame it takes place. And the BBC is state-run media. The BBC is owned and controlled heavily by the British government. So apparently, even in England, which is more conservative, I wouldn't say politically, but more conservative, of a society than America, it's okay there and was a few years ago to portray politicians as murderous. We're going to keep you on for the next segment. Why don't you stick around, Nathan?
All right.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Hold your feral kitties tight. It's a warm night in Wyoming. And you know, not everyone knows this, but if you're listening to LRN and you're hearing all these great divergent personalities talking united in as one about liberty, the truth is, it's all one guy. There's one voice actor that does all the voices. Like when you hear LRN and there's three guys talking, it's actually like the same guy. And when they talk over each other, it's like he actually records some of it during the break I record some of it during the break. It's not Michael Dean. I can't say what the real name of the person is.
I thought it was a ventriloquist who was capable of talking over himself.
I thought it all took place in the imaginative mind of a small autistic child named Ian.
I don't know that reference. What's that reference?
It's a reference to that show on Elm Street.
Well, I don't know, man. Have you ever seen Ian Freeman and myself in the same room? No, you haven't.
I've never seen you in a room with anyone.
That's because I'm on house arrest in Gitmo. I'm in the basement of Gitmo, working for the CIA, producing all of the content on LRN. It's all me. I also play Frank Underwood on House of Cards. So Obama did not say, I can't find anywhere that he said that he wishes Congress were more like Frank Underwood, but he did say on Ellen DeGeneres that he likes the show and watches it. And it's a show about a sociopathic Democratic politician that will do anything up to and including murder with his own hands to get his agenda taken care of. So that's Obama's hero.
Hey, you know, maybe he meant that politicians in Washington were worse than him, and he wishes that they were as virtuous as him.
As virtuous as Frank Underwood?
Like, I wish people were less murderous, like him.
Like Frank Underwood? Yeah.
Like Frank Underwood.
Obama's killed more people than Frank Underwood. Frank Underwood's only killed, like, four or five people. I mean, I think he's killed two or three people with his bare hands, and I think he's ordered the killing of two or three other people. And I'm not just talking about like what he does as his job as a congressman. I'm talking about like, you know, within his circle, he's had two or three people killed, and that's a lot less than Obama. So yeah, maybe Obama does, or maybe Obama, like you said in the break, just wishes that Congress were as popular as the show House of Cards.
That's possible too.
Well, congressmen could wear like cameras on their shoulders and put.
I would watch that for a while. I'd probably get boring really fast. Yeah. Come think of it.
Yeah, and you know they wouldn't want to be caught in bed with a live boy or a dead girl. That was some politician in the South. I forget who it was, but there's somebody back in the day who said like, you know, who'd rigged an election and said, you know, nothing can stop me from winning this election unless I'm found in caught in bed with a dead boy or a live boy or a dead girl.
Sounds like a confession.
Yeah. Okay. So Nathan, more questions or comments on the idea of politicians as sociopaths?
Well, one thing I wanted to get out at first is some people have this idea of sociopaths as just kind of like these crazy killers or whatever, and I don't agree with that. I think the traits like lack of empathy that define a sociopath, I think a lot of people have them.
Oh yeah, I mean sociopaths can have day jobs for sure. I mean the ones that are out in the street, you know, hitting people over the head with a brick are the ones that weren't smart enough sociopaths to get into politics.
I do wonder about that, though. Like, you know, Ian always kind of on Free Talk Live jokes about politicians being psychopaths. I wonder what percentage of them really are. Like
six.
Six?
Well, 6% of people. There's a book called Political Ponderology that I would recommend.
Oh, I have that book.
Okay.
I got it.
I mean, the basic premise of that book is that 6% of all humans are sociopaths, and 14 or 15% of all people wish to follow sociopaths. And that 20 or 21% together makes it really hard for everybody else. And
well, here's the thing, even if they're not clinically sociopaths, like born with a mental disorder, being in positions of power has been shown to induce sociopathic behavior in otherwise healthy people.
Yeah, I mean the Milgram experiment proves that.
Or the Stanford prison experiment does too.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was some other experiment Dolly's thinking about. It was something where people in power have less able to recognize other people's feelings or something.
Yeah, they no, it isn't that they don't recognize, it's that they don't care. In the experiment, they successfully identified when other people were in emotional turmoil, but they didn't care.
Yeah, and one of the other indicators of sociopathy is being able to emulate human emotion, because sociopaths don't have any, but they're very good at mimicking it when it serves them.
Or just the successful ones are able to do that.
You know, like Obama crying over dead children while trying to outlaw guns.
Or killing children.
Yeah, when he's not killing children. Yeah.
When I'm not killing children, I'm crying over dead children.
Obama, I don't always... Oh, someone should make this meme. I don't always kill children, but when I do, I do it by remote control from 3,000 miles away.
So I guess I'm curious...
6,000 miles.
What cultural change do you think has made it allowable to portray politicians like this? Because...
Internet?
It's
living in a police state. I mean, it's the same reason that it was okay for Russian novelists to write about like crazy bureaucracy and you know the catch-22s of the communist system. It's because art imitates life, and we live in a top-down hierarchical militarized society. And even if people won't acknowledge it because they're busy worshiping their politician, subconsciously they get it. So it comes out in the art.
Well, you might be right about that, because I remember I remember reading a study recently about what political system people believe America has, and a lot of people said oligarchy. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that.
I'm surprised most people know what the word oligarchy means. They might be parroting someone else. I mean, it's pretty close to true.
Was that a survey, or was that – how did they come to that conclusion?
I thought it was a study, but I'll have to check it out. It was some kind of Stanford survey or study.
I don't know that – Russian novelists were able to get away with all of that. Wasn't Solzhenitsyn like thrown in a gulag?
Well, it was embedded though. Like a lot of it wasn't as explicit as things are now, but it wasn't. He was thrown into a gulag for that reason.
Dude, you want to know what you're going to look like when you're 70? Look at the picture of Solzhenitsyn on Wikipedia, Davi.
No way. I'm going to look like Santa Claus when I'm 70.
Okay. Well, he kind of looks like a grim Santa Claus. I mean, if you smile all the time, but yeah, he looks like you, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that Solzhenitsyn got sent to the gulag because they opened a letter that he sent to someone. You know, they were searching everyone's mail, NSA style.
Yep. Mm. The analog, the acoustic version, not the electric version of the NSA, the analog version. Yeah. You ever read his stuff, either of you?
No, I haven't.
I've read the first part of the Gulag Archipelago.
Is it the feel-good hit of the century?
It's horrible.
Are they making a romantic comedy out of it?
Starring Natasha Kinski.
Did you hear they're making a romantic comedy out of 1984, and it's starring the girl from Twilight and the guy from Warm Bodies?
They kind of all read...
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking. It's called Equals. Go look it up.
They've already made a romantic comedy of 1984. There's like four or five movie versions of that, and two or three movie versions of A Brave New World. And then there's Demolition Man, which is kind of a joke version of Brave New World. But yeah, there's the old BBC 1984, which is really dire, and then there's the American LA one that's kind of hip, and there is a amplified love story in it. Like, you know, they bring that out and make that.
Well, there
center.
Is a love story in the book, but it's kind of a hate story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the destruction of a love story is what it is, because they betray each other to the state in the end.
Right.
Narcs.
Oh, I found the name of that show of the autistic kid who dreamed the entire show. It was called Saint Elsewhere, and the ending was it was all a dream.
That's such a cop out of an
to
ending.
Spoil it.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
I haven't seen the show yet.
I know. Spoiler alert from something 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Yeah.
I was wondering, is there a time limit on that? Like, what's the accepted minimum time before you can reveal the ending?
I don't know. You can't joke about Hitler yet, so.
I don't mind spoilers. I like being spoiled on things, because for me, the reason to digest all this culture is to have the discussion. So if somebody can spoil a movie and then I don't have to spend 2 hours watching it and I can just cut straight to talking about it, that's good for me.
I would say, in my opinion of what makes good stories, if someone can ruin it for you with one line, it's not a good story. You know, it's
sure.
Any story that any movie that depends so heavily on a twist ending, like, you know, I see dead people, you know, oh, the guy was dead the whole time.
Well, what about like The Crying Game? The Crying Game was like a phenomenon of spoiler in the culture.
I've heard so much about that movie that if I ever saw it, I'd be looking for the little added extra bit.
Okay.
I mean, you can't not know about that by now.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a kind of code of silence in the culture at the time. Like, people thought it was so important that everyone was very careful not to spoil it for people.
I get that a lot with people. They kind of have this weird attitude where they cover their ears and they say, no, don't talk about whatever show they're watching that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. You were asking about Boardwalk Empire, and you said you were kind of comparing it to Breaking Bad, and I really love Breaking Bad, and I really love overall where TV is going, especially when it's produced by non-ABC, NBC, you know, non-alphabet soup agency networks like Netflix and, you know, cable.
Well, the AMC CEO came out as an anarcho-capitalist. Did you hear this?
No.
He was asked what was going to happen with Walking Dead. Like, Breaking Bad was ending, some of the other shows were kind of in their final season or something. And they asked him, like, what about Walking Dead? How long are you going to keep Walking Dead going? He says, Walking Dead is going to go on forever. Walking Dead is going to become a completely free enterprise society with no nation states.
Huh.
And he said this at an entertainment conference.
Well, that doesn't mean he's an anarcho-capitalist. But I thought you were going to say something more like, Walking Dead is going to go on until LibPair becomes a reality, and then it'll just morph into the evening news. there's a thing on The Simpsons where there's a few episodes that take place in the future, and one is Marge and Homer are watching TV, and Marge says, wow, Fox became hardcore pornography so slowly I didn't even notice. Come on, man.
I remember I saw it.
All right.
I'm laughing on the inside.
The crickets were deafening. So anyway.
We were laughing on the inside.
So Nathan. Yeah. All right. I think we beat this horse to death. TV and politicians.
We led it to water.
We led it to water and the future of LibHair. Thanks for your call, Nathan.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Say worms.
Worms.
Thank you.
Worms.
Mew.
This radio show is called Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com to help keep it drone-proof. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
So, I have a late breaking freedom fix here. This is really good news I'm about to read. I'm on this endless, tireless, beating my head against the wall agenda to get everybody in Liberty to get better audio. And Nima Vidati a couple months ago said, you should talk to Scott Horton, man. He does interviews all the time. He does them over the phone. He does them for 3 hours, and they're with brilliant people, and they sound horrible. And so I sent Scott Horton some information on how to take Skype calls on a show and what mic to recommend that his regular guests get, and even if they can't get the good mic that we recommend on michaelwdean.com, to at least get them using Skype. And I just got an email from Scott Horton that says, subject, Skype. Michael, you'll be glad to know I've finally gotten Skype up and going with my rig so that I may be able to take your advice and get my regular guests to switch from their crappy phones. Thanks for the push. Best, Scott. That makes me happy.
Yeah, phones are obsolete. They sound terrible.
Yeah, and you said they're never going – why did you say they're never going to improve
they're
them.
Technology companies are not going to prioritize improving the voice on a phone call because people don't use phones to talk anymore. They use phones for emails and games and texting.
These damn kids with their texting and their funny little short words.
You know what, though? Those people have landlines, and landlines sound perfectly fine. So
what people?
The elderly.
Yeah, me. I have a landline.
So yeah, I don't like it. It makes me not want to talk on the phone. But yeah, I don't think that they're prioritizing sound quality on phones. You can get better sound quality playing an MP3 on your phone than you can talking into your phone. You can record better audio with your voice recorder on your phone than you can speak into your phone to another human being.
Yep, that is very bizarre. All right, so our next tyranny, and we had to have some redemption before the tyranny because we like to wash.
We're gonna sandwich it,
like wash our palate out at the sour wine tasting of tyranny here. So I want to play this little news piece. It's a minute and a half long. It's from Fox Sports.
Vandergrift High School winning their first soccer state championship ever. Look closely. You can see what appears to be a police officer tripping and pushing celebrating students as they rush onto the field after the win. Good evening. Our Lindsay Bramson has been digging into this, and you found out they're already investigating this guy now.
That's right, Dave. That's what a spokesman for the Georgetown Police Department tells me. Now, I'm told parents emailed police first thing this morning, letting them know what had happened.
Look at this video again. You see the students rush the field after the big win. All of a sudden, you see a Georgetown police officer in uniform stick his leg out and trip a high school student. He then tries to trip another student. Then watch this. This YouTube video shot by a student at the game shows one of them limping off the field. But it doesn't stop there. You then see the officer push two other girls off the field. Tonight, we spoke with the 15-year-old student who watched all of this happen while shooting it on his phone.
I think that he should have used better judgment. And next time, you know, once again, we're high schoolers. We're nothing more than that. We're just trying to have some fun after our team won.
Now, we reached out to Georgetown police. While they couldn't speak with us on camera today, they did give us this statement saying Georgetown administrators have taken the information and will be forwarding it to Internal Affairs for review and investigation. Georgetown police has not yet released.
We're investigating ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, and we're about to discover that there was no wrongdoing on the part of this officer.
There's a song by this band. You ever heard the band MDC, the old punk rock band? Stands for Millions of Dead Cops. Now that's a punk name, man. But they had a song that was about. They had a song called "Millions of Dead Cops," and the song talked about how they always investigate the crimes they commit. And it says that that's like sending the rats to guard the cheese.
You know, I am bothered. I know this is subtle, but I'm bothered almost to the point of being offended that this woman said couldn't speak to us and not wouldn't speak to us.
Exactly.
Like. Well, they could. They absolutely are capable of speaking on the phone.
Yeah. Well, Nima has talked extensively about that on The Fiends because he worked at a mainstream news outlet. And basically, you can't be too hard on the police or they'll never give you access and you'll never get anything besides badge number and name again, which kills news.
But that's what they've got here. No access.
I know.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to MichaelWDean.com. That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
L'estato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
No Vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hour two of two on Freedom Fiends After Dark. It's a good show. It's an honest show. It's a fun show. You can call in at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Or Skype to username kittyfeet1, like the feet of a cat, and then number one. So, Davi, we're not really done with this horrible kid-tripping cop, are we?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many bad stories about dumb cops. You could really go on forever. I just don't understand his motivation. Like, what goes through a person's mind that says, I'm gonna hold my foot out and trip this person who's running on a field? I mean, you could injure someone. It's just a childish thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, there's no possible law enforcement order for it or excuse for it. I mean, where there is for, shooting someone holding a cell phone, I thought he was holding a gun, or, beating a confession out of somebody, about where the drugs are hidden, or, making the drug dog indicate when he doesn't really smell anything. And that's how all drug dogs work. But
what was he doing there anyway? Isn't this a high school? Do cops just like police all high school events now?
Yes.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know, man. It's just maybe he was bad at sports and he doesn't like people celebrating people who are good at sports. Or I actually think it's probably something more like he thinks everybody should sit in neat little rows with their hands folded on their lap and politely clap when their team wins. And that he's really offended that something happened that was spontaneous, that some anarchy happened, that some people being jubilant without planning and an agenda on paper and permission from the state happened, which is really bizarre that he chose this moment to do it, because I've always thought of organized sports, especially with schools, as kind of a state-sanctioned, society-sanctioned outlet for, anger, aggression, and...
Yeah, it's kind of the point.
It's kind of training for patriotism and joining the military, isn't it? Like, my team is the best because they're region where I was
exactly
born,
it is the training of the prejudice for the geography you're from.
there's a Simpsons where Homer is preparing to go to a sporting event and he has a pendant that says local sports squadron and he's waving it.
That's my dad. I don't come from a sports family. I never played sports. And my dad, when I was like a teenager, he came to me and he said, I always worried that I like neglected something as a father by not involving you in sports. So just so you know, whenever sports comes up, this is what I say. How about that local sports team? I hear they're doing quite average this increment of time.
That's great. That is awesome. There's actually a bunch of t-shirts that are based on that Homer Simpson that are really nicely designed logos that look like sports team logos and say things like local sports team.
Yeah, man. I never understood it. Maybe it's because I moved around too much as a kid, so anything local kind of felt arbitrary, but I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, think about what the cop doing that is. It's a big dude with a gun on his hip running out where he doesn't belong and tripping children for doing what children are supposed to do,
And do commonly.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that video? There was a cop, I think this was in Turkey, and it was a soccer game, and he started harassing somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And the audience like charged out onto the field and
beat him up.
Beat him up.
And it was contrasted. That was going around virally paired with another video, which was at some USA local sports squadron event. I think it was a baseball game. And it was, some guy being tased for being rowdy, but not to the point of like endangering anybody. He was just yelling and wouldn't stop, like woo, and really drunk. And a cop tasered him, and there's like 100 people in a semicircle standing around, like kind of laughing, like cheering the cop on, basically.
High school sports is also what first gave me the idea that the government was a gang, because they taught us about sports, or they had us go to these pride rallies at the same time that they were telling us all these sort of rules about gang colors and how there are all these sort of like dress code violations for standing in groups of more than three people wearing the same color. And I'm like, but that's every event that you organize. So the school is the gang on campus. This is their turf, and other gangs are not welcome.
Isn't the Oakland Raiders colors and like Oakland Raiders t-shirts, isn't there some gang that's claimed that as their gang?
Was just black and silver.
Yeah, but I think that's banned some places outside of like in Texas. There's places where that's banned because it's gang colors. Not just gang colors, but the gang wears those, you know, the Oakland Raiders shirts because
there's a kind of odd culture around Raiders fans, and this isn't all Raiders fans, but there is a sort of like gang of Raiders fans that where Raiders gear is sort of the gang insignia. The
police are a gang, man.
That's the psychology of it. It's all the same kind of mentality.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Bloods tripping Crips for running out on the field.
Yeah. Cops tripping kids for running out on the field. That stuff never appealed to me, the sports stuff, man, when I was a kid. And I was not particularly gangly or unathletic. I just really didn't like it. Like every time I was forced to do sports, I didn't like being pitted against other people. It seemed really stupid to me. And I really felt it was a waste of time. And it's kind of like, I mean, you could say classic nerd, because when I'm in the outfield on the little league team I'm forced to be on at school, I'm sitting in the outfield thinking, I could be in the library reading books right now.
But I used to sneak things out there to read while I was in the outfield.
You know what?
I used to run track, and I liked track because I was competing against myself.
Yeah,
I didn't like team sports.
Yeah.
Because it felt too much like a popularity contest, like when it came to picking teams, and then it was like, which kids get good, they always get the ball. Like it never felt like there was a point, right? It felt more like a psychological experiment than like an excuse for exercise.
I was in Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts, and then Weeblos. I never made it to Boy Scouts. I liked a lot of the things that the Boy Scouts did. I liked camping. I liked learning how to build things. I liked learning how to shoot a rifle, which they taught back then. I liked bug collecting and, you know, organizing things and learning. I liked pretty much everything that you did as the Scouts, except I didn't like the Scouts. I did not like the authority of it. And I got kicked out of Weeblos. I got kicked out of my troop for, I was going up to get an award. You know, I was in front of all the other Scouts in my troop and, you know, 100 parents. And everybody, you know, I was up there with three other kids and they're all taking a bow, and I did a curtsy just to be contrary, man. And they kicked me out. You know, there's a tradition in the Boy Scout, in the Cub Scouts of, do you know about the Bobcat badge?
No.
The Bobcat badge is like the first badge you get. It's for, you know, basically showing up and learning the Scout oath, I think is what it is. And
okay.
You know, for being compliant. And there's a tradition, it's not in the Boy Scout book, but a lot of Cub Scouts do this, which is you put your Bobcat badge on, and it's a little, you know, pewter, like not shiny badge, like a little brass colored badge with a Bobcat's face on it. And it's a, you know, in a diamond shape. And you turn it upside down when you put your uniform on in the morning. And you can't turn it over until you've done a good deed for somebody. And that doesn't include like cleaning your room because your mother tells you to. It's like doing a good deed for somebody that, you know, isn't your responsibility.
It's like getting a cat out of a tree or helping an old lady across the street,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And and it encourages Cub Scouts to go out of their way to try to do a good deed, which I think is a good thing. I mean, it's got a whole bunch of compliance built into it and a bunch of statism because it's the Cub Scouts, but I really like that tradition. And I have a running joke with Nima and Ben and a few other people of like, well, I guess we can turn our Bobcat badge over today, you know, and I've explained to them.
No, you know,
what
it should be, we should get ourselves some American flag pins and we should wear them right side up until we do something libertarian that day.
Man, you just want to get tarred and feathered, don't you? No, here's what I think. I think you should research this a little bit and make a libertarian bobcat badge where you put it on upside down and you don't turn it right side up because you make badges. That's part of your...
We could use a honey badger.
Ah.
Or a porcupine.
I like the honey badger because the porcupine is kind of specifically Free State Project.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of open sourced since then. I like the porcupine because it's quills down and then it's quills up.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I ever had, I don't know if I should say this, but I actually poked a porcupine with a stick in New Hampshire once in my life.
Okay. Do you mean a Free State Project member or the mammal?
The mammal. The quilled mammal. Yeah, I was my sister lived in New Hampshire, and I used to go there for part of the summer each year when I was a teenager and hang out with her and her hippie boyfriend and camp out in the woods. Well, not camp. They had a log cabin and no electricity. It was pretty cool. And they had a chicken coop that they'd built, but they hadn't put chickens in it yet, so it didn't have any chicken poop in it. And I was sleeping in that. Basically, because I didn't want to sit there and listen to my sister making sweet, sweet love with her hippie boyfriend all the time. and so I was, it was really cool. It was like my first kind of like camping and being alone in nature. But, you know, there were adults that loved me like, you know, 100 yards away. So I wasn't like totally alone. But,
sure.
But one night I was in this chicken coop sleeping and I heard something gnawing on the chicken coop. And it was, I couldn't sleep. It was really loud. It was a little tiny chicken coop, you know, like 6 feet by 5 feet by 5 feet, probably just big enough for a, you know, small boy to sleep in comfortably. And it had windows in it. It was really cool. And I woke up and went out with the flashlight. I was kind of terrified. I was like, it's the thing at night that gets you in the camping horror stories. It's the zombie. And I went out and there was a porcupine gnawing on the wood.
Like on the wood?
On the unfinished wood staves at the bottom of it. Yeah, because they...
porcupines eat wood?
No, I think it's like squirrels and rats. Like their teeth, they have to gnaw on things or their teeth grow through their head.
Oh, you know? Okay.
And I went out and, you know, yelled at it and told it to get away, and it did not. And I picked up a board, like a 2x4, and just started kind of shoving it. Like gently but firmly. Well, and it was really stubborn and it went away. But I ended up with about 70 porcupine quills in the board and I kept them for years.
That's cool, man.
I don't know if I want to tell that in New Hampshire. People might think I'm poking them with a stick. But we'll be back with more on the Honey Badger After Dark show. Freedom Fiends After Dark.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
This is Michael Dean on Freedom Fiends After Dark. Also known as Michael Dean After Dark for now. And over on the other end of the inner tubes, I have Mr. Davi Barker. Hello, Davi.
How's it going?
Yeah, he's the guy responsible for that horribly infectious ad for Shiny Badges that we just heard. So every time you hear that, you could just imagine going up to him and pouring your pouring your drink on his feet. throw your shoes at him, as is the custom in the Middle East. No, I'm kidding. It's a great ad, but it's so effective, it drives me bonkers because I find myself singing it 18 hours later. And that's a good thing. So we have an idea since they say that there's a book called Three Felonies a Day that basically says that there's so many laws now that everyone commits three felonies a day without knowing it. But Davi Barker commits three felonies per show, per radio show.
I don't know what they are, but it's possible.
Yeah, you probably are. So so we were talking during the break about this Bobcat badge idea. And this is one of the things I like about doing a daily radio show is we get to fiend source things. We get to either fiend source it, but I don't even need I don't even know if we need to fiend source this. I think we've done it, but we did it on the air. So basically what we did is we came up with an idea for a new badge that Davi's going to do based on the Boy Scout badge, the Bobcat badge, which used to be a badge and now it's a patch. But there were two traditions with it. One was what I said, which was that, well, one was that you get the badge as soon as you become a Cub Scout, but you can't turn it over until you've earned it. You know, so it's kind of like winning a Nobel Peace Prize and then later... Well, no, that's not really a good analogy.
It's more like a chastity ring, if you ask me.
Yeah, yeah. But then the other tradition, the way we did it in my troop, and this was also a thing that we found on the internet, so it must be true, is that people would put it on in the morning upside down, and they couldn't turn it right side up until they'd done a good deed for a stranger. So we're thinking of making a libertarian version of that, and we're kind of spitballing. And we have different ideas, and he may incorporate all of them. But one was. You have to do a good deed for a stranger and then tell them you're libertarian. Kind of like how the Hell's Angels used to pull over and help stranded motorists and then hand them a card that said you've been helped by the Hell's Angels, to kind of like build some goodwill for an organization that people thought was horrible. And then the other thing is you could have it so when you basically, when you talk to somebody who's a statist about liberty, that was one I just thought of. But then Davi had the best idea, which I think would be the controversial idea. Now, what is your idea for the libertarian Bobcat badge?
It's to commit an act of civil disobedience. It's a revolutionary act. It's upside down until you commit a crime that day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it has to be a crime with no victim, like something.
A victimless crime, preferably one in public, and preferably one that had some sort of benefit to someone, but should be a crime.
Maybe it should be a Derek J badge, since he did the movie Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree.
Yeah, or you know what it could be is it could be a Robin Hood badge.
Robin Hood, the character of Batman and Robin? Oh, Robin Hood, not Robin. Yeah.
Not Robin. Robin, you know the Robin Hooders in Keene? They go around filling parking meters for people, and they leave a little thing that says, Robin Hood has saved you from the sheriff's minstrels or whatever.
Minstrels.
And so, yeah, it could be an arrow or a bow and arrow or maybe a Robin Hood hat or something.
I think this is the part that we need to fiend source is send us suggestions.
Yeah, here's the concept.
Yeah.
Like
we need the badge icon. We need to know what to put on it.
We need the network brain working on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's a cool idea. Especially like if it was good for kids. I like what I like about the bear cat one or the bobcat one is there you go, a bear cat.
Well, there is an animal called a bear cat. Do you know about that? Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a domestic tank called a bear cat.
Yeah, there's a vehicle that's used by domestic terrorists. Yeah.
You mean local police departments?
Yeah, and federal. Yeah.
But I do like the idea that the bobcat pin is sort of inculcating good behavior in young kids. And so that would, I guess, be ideal if the concept included that. But let's see what suggestions come in. You know, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of a bear cat. It kind of looks like its face kind of looks like a really scruffy bobcat, and it kind of looks like a homeless honey badger. Like a really kind of.
A honey badger is funny, but with a honey badger, I want it to be like an act of I don't care, right? Or an act of doing what you want or something like that.
I don't know. Honey badgers have a reputation as extremely violent, too. I don't know if that'd be the right thing to use.
Yeah, I hear that.
All right. So we're gonna brain source this between our two little brains. We're gonna come back and talk about cat brains too, because that's an interesting story. No one knows, man. It's a mystery.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Fiends
Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. So this is Freedom Fiends After Dark, and this is the voice actor that does all the LRN shows, all of the shows, is now doing the Michael Dean voice. Let's have him do the Davy Barker voice.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, remember, everybody on LRN is played by one voice actor.
Oh, okay.
So do the Davy.
This is Davy.
Yeah, Davy and I are Davy and I are in Gitmo, up in the dental torture chairs, and Davy likes it. I don't like it very much. Do you like it?
I like the dentist. I realize that's unusual, but there's something about it that I find very relaxing, even if it's painful.
Do you like airplanes?
Yeah, I like airplanes too.
Do you like the TSA?
I don't like the TSA.
You know, even before the TSA existed, I felt about the same way about taking plane flights that I do about the dentist, which is, I wouldn't mind this if it could be done in a different way. I feel so like powerless and cattle-like on an airplane trip and going through everything, like even on the plane. I even feel like, you know, I can't be myself. I can't get up and fart and scratch and burp and, you know, pee as much as I want to without waiting in line and just all, it kind of feels like school to me, I guess.
I was thinking more along the lines of like fear of turbulence that people have and things like that, like reckless driving. I do the same thing with reckless driving. If I feel unsafe about the way someone's driving, I'll often kind of just like close my eyes and accept it. Like I can find it relaxing.
I try not to get in cars with people that are reckless drivers.
Well, I don't anymore. I mean, like when I was younger.
Yeah. So cats and their brains. My cats do not like going in the car because the only place we ever take them is the vet or Wyoming. And they did not like the trip to Wyoming. We got drugs from the vet and drugged them, and they still did not like the trip to Wyoming.
We took our cat to LA once, which is about a 7-hour drive, and he totally hated it.
Yeah. Did you take the one or the 101?
The 101.
Mm. He probably would have hated the 101 even more, although he could probably smell fish out the window. So,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so cats and their brains. Talk about this article and read a little bit of it. What is it in?
This is in Jezebel. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
But it's essentially, there's some scientists who are trying to like measure the IQ of dogs and cats, and they're finding that cats don't like being measured, that they don't.
They can't be measured. Yeah, there's not really a clear scientific idea of the intelligence of cats. Whereas there's a very clear idea with dolphins and primates and even dogs, because all those other things will play the games that scientists play to to measure their IQ. And cats will play games when they want to, and they'll just go over in the corner and say, "Forget you, man. I'm going to take a nap." Or stare at the wall. Says, cats stare at the wall a lot. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's true. Mine does that too. Or the ceiling. He looks up at the ceiling for no reason sometimes.
Well, when they're looking at the ceiling, I feel like they think there's a bug flying around. You know, they'll see something out of the corner of their eye and a shadow or something. But they will stare at a blank wall from a foot away for 10 or 20 minutes sometimes. There's nothing there, man. I tell them that. I'm like, Fuzzy, there's nothing there. But
right.
Yeah, maybe they can maybe they can see the 11 dimensions we exist in that we can't see.
I've heard that they can that they experience sound vibrations differently than we do. I don't quite know what that means.
They have a much higher range of hearing. Like humans can hear, you know, from something like 20 cycles per second to in adults, generally, you know, 14,000 cycles per second. Young people can hear up to about 20,000 cycles per second. which is why they sell tones to drive away teenagers hanging out that drives them nuts that adults can't usually hear. But cats can hear up to like 100,000 cycles per second, and it's to aid them in hunting. Insects and mice produce sounds in those ranges.
That makes sense.
Yeah, insects use them for echolocation, kind of radar type things, and so do bats. Although I don't think cats generally get bats, but yeah, they use it for hunting. So they can hear things we can't hear, and they also have very sensitive hearing, even at the same frequencies we can hear. They can hear, you know, they can hear an ant walking across the floor two rooms away, things like that. But they also, this is kind of weird, I heard that cats' brains are always in alpha wave mode, and that's one of the three modes that humans' brains can go into, and all scientifically shown, like anytime there've been any kind of testing in laboratories of psychic ability, like, you know, the famous one where they have five symbols on cards and somebody's looking at them behind a screen and the other person says what they think they're looking at. And there actually are some studies that have been, you know, produced in scientific settings and peer reviewed that have produced like slightly higher than chance with that. And when that happens, the people doing the mind reading, their brains are in alpha mode. So cats are always in the brainwave mode that produces psychic phenomenon. That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. I mean, there's always been a kind of mysticism around cats, like all the way from like ancient Egypt to like modern pagans. Like there's always this association of cats with the supernatural or with witches.
Crazy cat ladies.
Yeah. Or even like the Stephen King movie or the Stephen King book, The Cat's Eye. It's about the cat like steals breath from people while they're asleep or whatever. I used to love that movie when I was a kid.
Yeah. And that was initially what they thought crib death was. You know, there's this thing called SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome,
yeah.
That's like still unexplained and happens more in males than babies than females, and you know, this happens in a certain age, and it's inexplicable, and it does happen.
I've heard that it correlates with cuddling. If you don't cuddle your babies, they're more likely to just suddenly die.
They just give up.
Yeah
But I think that that used to be associated with cats. That was the belief.
Well, they do that. My cat comes and sits on my chest while I'm asleep.
And steals your breath.
I don't know if he steals my breath, but yeah. He does do that.
Yeah. So,
this scientist is trying to gauge how intelligent they are, and they're just not cooperating. They're not interested in counting. They're not interested. Can't keep them interested in the experiment. They're like, whatever.
There was, you know, on Saturday Night Live, I think they still do this, but they definitely used to do this. They used to have you know, on the news segment, they would have a real news item from the current headlines, and then they'd have some funny comment on it. And there was one in the early 80s. It was Norm Macdonald was on the cast then, and the news item was, he said, scientists today announced that they've crossbred a cat that has hair that slightly glows in the dark. Cats everywhere commented, leave us alone, we're cats. And I kind of feel like that's how cats are, the same thing cats are saying to scientists trying to measure their intelligence. Leave us alone, we're cats.
It reminds me of the original Planet of the Apes, when they go back in time and they're trying to test the intelligence of the chimpanzee, and she like does everything in the test and then doesn't finish the test, and the scientists are like, why doesn't she do it? Like, she solved the puzzle. Why doesn't she take the prize? And she just looks at them and says, because I don't like bananas.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I don't like bananas. Yeah. So what else we got? Let's look at this 15 things highly confident people don't do.
Sure.
This is one of the things that you sent. Now, I don't know if Free Talk Live did this same thing recently or not. They often do things like this, which is kind of a nice break from complaining about the government, which is something we all do. I don't think this was it, though. I think what they did recently was like 20 things that that successful people all do. But all right, success 15 things highly confident people don't do. They don't make excuses. So are you and I highly successful people? I guess we have
to
get.
I think so.
Yeah, I think we are at what we do.
Well, I'm a confident person. I don't know if I'm successful per se, but
well,
I seem to succeed at what I apply myself to.
What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid?
When I was a kid? I always wanted to be an artist. I briefly wanted to be a pilot. I don't know. I feel like I changed what I wanted to do a lot. I wanted to write. I'm doing what I wanted to do. I mean, yeah. It's not exactly how I imagined it when I was a kid, but I'm totally doing it. I'm working from home.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's read through some of these things. Why don't you read through some of them and tell me which ones you do and which ones you don't do.
They don't avoid doing the scary thing. And I think that's good. I mean, I sort of, for me, the gauge is it inevitable? And if it's inevitable, I jump.
Were you scared when the TSA was threatening you?
I was.
I've never asked you that.
I got scared as soon as the guys in the shirts showed up, because that was not part of the script I was familiar with. So I was sort of going into uncharted territory. And then I guess when it really sort of became palpable was when they asked about Bitcoin, because that was when I was like, okay, they are off their mission. They are doing something strange. This is the sort of time when people get picked up. Like, that was when I knew they were targeting me and I wasn't just like an annoying passenger.
Do you think they have like a number code for annoying passengers?
I don't know.
That guy just irks me. Give him the annoying person stamp.
So I might do this. Number three is they don't live in a bubble of comfort. I kind of live in a bubble of comfort.
I joke that I'm under voluntary house arrest. And I mean, this is kind of my reputation too. And I'm not afraid of it all, to the point where I usually open shows saying that I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. I'm not in a windowless bunker. I'm in a very comfortable house, but it's a brick house and it keeps out a lot of noise. And I have put up carpets on the walls in this room to further sound condition it. I have blackout curtains on the windows. I keep them open during the day when I'm doing radio, but I close them at night just because, you know, I don't want someone to be able to put a sniper dot on my forehead, I guess. And also just, you know, it's better sound and it's warmer or cooler or whatever I want it to be. But I mean, I have this reputation to the point where Ian Freeman said on Free Talk Live recently, yeah, come to Porkfest. Porkfest is going to be great. I mean, even Michael Dean's coming to Porkfest and he hasn't left his basement since ever. I'm not in a basement and I do leave the house, but I'm a very comfortable office room, man. I like it. All right, we'll be back on Freedom Fiends After Dark.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean After Dark, also known as Freedom Fiends After Dark. And here's Mr. Davi Barker to tell you about the 20 habits of highly effective anarchists.
So yeah, the article is 15 things that confident people do or confident people don't do. But I think it comes down to two.
Yeah.
And it is sort of at the end of the list. One of them is They don't require anyone's permission to act.
Yes.
Highly confident people take action without hesitation. Every day they remind themselves, if not me, then who? And I think that goes all the way back to the first topic we did in the show. And that is, you know, good humans are feral, right? Feral cats don't ask permission. Feral humans don't ask permission to feed feral cats. And I think confident people have that sort of sense that, you know, nobody has the authority to tell me not to, so I'm just going to do it. Ask forgiveness, not permission, if you ask forgiveness at all. And man,
you sound like such a punk. You sound like you're a rebel, Davy Barker.
I am a rebel. And then number 15 is they don't blindly accept what they read as truth without thinking about it.
We already did that on this article because we read one of these and said we're successful and we do what this says not to do. We cloister in our little internet caves and rule the world from one little chair.
Yeah, so the author of this article told us that confident people don't live in a bubble of comfort. And we both said, oh, yeah, I don't need your permission to live in a bubble of comfort.
Yeah. Bingo. Bang. You just proved the singularity theorem in four lines of code. That was pretty awesome, man.
You know, I think the author put this one at the end because he recognized that anybody who's reading this and is one of these people isn't going to listen to him blindly anyway.
Who writes this kind of crap anyway? I mean,
I don't know. This is clickbait to some extent.
Clickbait. Is that your term? That's a good term.
I've come across this term. There's a site called Upworthy that gives terrible headlines and people call it clickbait.
At least they're all on one page. Generally with clickbait type stories. You know, like 10 celebrities who look better naked than with their clothes on and pictures
of them. Everyone is a different page and every one of them has a 30-second commercial. You know, if this had been one of those, I wouldn't have shared it. I can't stand that stuff.
I know. Yeah.
But you know, don't ask permission and question everything. Someone told me, this was Robert Anton Wilson, I believe. He said that everything should exist in a state of 1 through 10 when it comes to belief. That you should never believe anything as a complete 10 because you might be a caterpillar living in Japan imagining all of these things. But you should also never disbelieve in anything all the way to 0 because you might be a caterpillar in Japan imagining all of these things. And that a healthy person sort of gauges everything in reality on a scale from 1 to 10 with no absolutes and has a healthy skepticism of all of their conclusions.
Yeah, that's good advice from a guy who wanted to replace 1/3 of Congress with ostriches.
Well, they're such noble creatures.
He had an idea for something called the Guns and Dope Party.
I was a registered guns and doper.
Did you know that party's existence was the catalyst for me making a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom?
You know, I didn't know that, but it's definitely echoed in it because that was the first thing I thought of when I heard about your documentary.
And did you know that I call my one-man punk band Right Arm of Wyoming because the initials are RAW, Robert Anton Wilson?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I've never heard of the guy. I just think he has cool. No.
It's war backwards. That's what he used to say.
Have you ever heard – there's a video on YouTube of him and Carl Hess talking for 3 hours. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing, man.
He's a genius. He was a stone genius. The world lost a brilliant mind when they lost him.
Yeah, but I think both of them had a lot of influence on what's going on today. I think that in a way Carl Hess had a lot of influence because Carl Hess – was a straight up anarchist, and he was a script writer for Barry Goldwater. And I really think that he kind of put that thing out there of like Republicans trying to sound like anarchists, saying, we don't need any government intervention, so vote for me. They kind of got it wrong, half right, but you know.
You know, Robert Anton Wilson also did Vote for Nobody before it was cool.
Ah. Well, I think we've come to a good stopping place here, Davy Barker.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Give out your website.
Shinybadges.com.
Cool, man. Worms.
Worms.
Meow. Meow is the new worms. Lou said that.
Meow is the new worms?
Yep. Worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.